Good morning. Hope that everybody had a happy new year this week. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 12. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8, beginning with verse 8, and we'll read through verse 12 this morning. The writer of Hebrews says, "Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." This text is the writer of Hebrews quoting Jeremiah chapter 31 in verses 31 through 34. And he's also going to repeat these same words of God putting these putting His laws in our minds and writing them on our hearts in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16. You know, God says that in this text that in the Christian age, His people will be those that have allowed Him to put His laws in their minds, the people that have allowed Him to write His laws upon their hearts. What we believe then, as we look at this text, we must understand that what we believe, what is in us, is of eternal importance. Church, Christianity, for many people is about many things, yet oftentimes it is not about the one thing that makes us Christian. It is not about the one thing that makes us the kingdom of God. It is not about the one thing that makes us the Lord's church. That one thing is God's Word. You know, we want to wear the name of Christ and be called Christians sometimes, but oftentimes people put little to no effort in knowing Jesus. They put little to no effort into knowing what He said, into what He commanded, into how He lived. So how can they possibly be like Him? See, the only place that we know Jesus Christ is in God's Word. Too often, because people do not study the ideas and words of Jesus in the Bible, they model their lives and their religions after the ideas and the words of men instead of the ideas and words of God. In that, they sacrifice their salvation because they cannot get to the Father except through Jesus Christ and His words. His truth. Consider the text that I just read. God said, I will put my laws in their mind. In the greatest commandment recorded by our Lord in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 36 through 40, He stated, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. You know, having God's law on your mind is an aspect of your love for God. I think everybody here would say, I love God. Do we really? Do we love Him with the fairly inadequate love as love is defined in our world today? Or do we love Him with the love that He asked for? For see, knowing God and knowing His Word is to love Him. To neglect giving your mind or loving Him with your mind, your intellect to God's Word is a failure to love Him. It is through having His law in your mind that you are able to obey in obedience to. Is essential to loving God. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, I have to know His commandments to keep them. I have to know His commandments to obey them. Therefore, I have to know His commandments to love Him. So it is so very important that we are people of God's Word. You know, God's law in our minds is His way of telling us what He wants. What He wants for us to do, what He wants for us to be, what is true in this life. And if a person believes that there is more than one church, If they believe that all Christ-believing religions are saved, they deny Jesus Christ. They deny God's truth. They do not have the laws of God in their minds, because it says something very different. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. The church that's designed after what He wants. His church, one church. John chapter 14 and verse 6, He says, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. Hebrews chapter 1 says that in these last days, God has spoken to us through Jesus, His Son. Hebrews chapter 2, in verses 1 through 4, the writer says, for this reason we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken by who? Through the Lord. That goes back to chapter 1. It was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them by both signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Folks, He asked the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And the answer to that question is simple. We will not. If we neglect the great salvation that is found in this book, we will not escape the condemnation of our sins. He gave one truth, and one truth only. If we disagree and we do with what others in the denominational world are doing, we cannot, you know, if we disagree with them and they disagree with us, it is fundamental things of God's Word as far as aspects of how to be saved and things like that. We cannot both be right. And we have to choose, as Joshua said, this day whom we will serve, this truth or that truth, but they can't both be the truth. Now, we can both be wrong, but we cannot both be right. There is only one truth, God's truth. There is only one right. And we have to make certain and sure by studying God's Word that we live in that truth, that we live according to that which God says is right, that which we call righteousness. So that is very important for us to understand. That is why Jesus said that He would condemn those who did things in His name. Why? Because they did not do the will of His Father. There's a lot of people out there saying we're doing things in Jesus' name, but they're not doing what Jesus asked. And it's all the difference in the world. If a person believes things that it's just all right to do worship any way that we want to do it, then they deny what God has commanded in the Scriptures. They do not take His law into their hearts and into their minds. They ignore the commands of God. You know, people try to sound noble by saying, well, I wouldn't do it that way, but I don't see anything wrong with it. And they sound all noble and, you know, it just they think that just sounds great. But folks, that's just hypocrisy. That's I believe one thing, but I'm going to show another. And Jesus condemned that over and over in the pages of text. Folks, we're to be convicted. We're to stand for things to be right, that are right and true, and to stand as Jesus Christ stood in His ministry for that which was right and true, and not try to take some easy way out. There are a plethora of issues out there within the religious world that we see so-called Christians doing what they want instead of what God said. And ultimately it comes down to one thing. Is it God's or is it our want? And that will make a decision for us between whether we are saved or whether we are lost, whether we have taken hold of that great salvation that has been offered to us or we have neglected it in some particular way and drifted away. You know, this text also enjoins the aspect of writing those laws on our hearts. God wants His new covenant to be about more than just the externals. He wants these new followers to have their heart in what they're doing. You know, we can be at the right place at the right time, doing the right things in the right way, and still not be doing what God wants if we're not doing it for Him. If I'm standing up here today before you simply wanting your praise so that everybody will tell me how wonderful I am, or I'm doing whatever out there so that people will think I'm such a great person, I'm doing it for the wrong reason. And Jesus condemns that. seeking the praise of men in Matthew chapter 6. He says, you'll get your reward, right? All men will say, oh, you're wonderful, you're great. But he says, you won't get the reward of the Father. Do those things to serve God. Have it from the heart. He is the reason why you do the things that you do. To say God's laws are in one's heart is to say that they love His laws. They treasure His laws. They treasure His precepts. Psalm chapter 1 in verses 1 through 3 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. Psalm 119, chapter all about God's Word, verse 97 says, oh, how I love Your law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, when we think about heart, we're thinking about the love for God, love for His will. And that's what the Jews were lacking. They did the things that they did, but they didn't do it because they loved God. They did it because they loved other things. But we need to love God. We need to love His Word. We need to love what He has called for us to be and to do in this life. For if we don't love it, we'll never live it. You know, we'll sacrifice for our children because we love them. And let me tell you, you will never sacrifice for God until you love Him. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. It is one thing to know God's commands. It's another to love Him and be devoted in that love to the obedience of those commands. For no other reason than one thing, to please Him. I don't even, you know, I shouldn't even be obeying the commandments of God just to go to heaven. I'm going to do this to go to heaven. No, you do this because you love God. Heaven's going to be nice, and that's great, and we want to go there, and that's going to happen if we love God. But ultimately, I love God. Jesus Christ, who died for me, I love Him. That's what we just remembered in the Lord's Supper. I love Him. I want Him to be pleased. I want Him to be happy. I want to give everything I have to Him. And if He takes me to heaven, great. But even if He didn't, He still deserves it. He's earned it. And I should give it. You know, we must also note that God's people are only those, according to this text, who have His laws in their minds and their His laws written on their hearts. Consider what the Bible says that the Word of God does for us as well. But think about that. He says, I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. That is the prerequisite. God's laws in your minds and written in your hearts, that makes you God's and God yours. What a wonderful thing. But that is the prerequisite. Sometimes we forget that. Think about what God's Word does for us in our lives according to the Scriptures. Number one, it strengthens us. People say, I want to be stronger, but they don't go to the place where strength is found. Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Paul gives to the elders of Ephesus these last parting words. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up, in other words, strengthen you, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. This strength enables us to endure the difficult times because of the promises of God. I know that God will see me through. He doesn't promise me that I'll never have difficult times, but He gives me the strength to endure it, and I know His promises. And I know that no matter what happens to me in this life, great is my reward in heaven, according to Matthew chapter 5. And that all the difficulties of this life will be worth it one day when we walk through the pearly gates. And I hold those promises in hand. I know that He sees the sparrow fall, and He knows what I'm going through right now. And He will care for me. I believe that Jesus still weeps. Just as He wept for Mary and Martha, I believe He weeps for me when I suffer. Why? Because He cares. Because He loves me. It also sanctifies us. John chapter 17 and verse 17, in that prayer on the night before He died, Jesus said, sanctify them through Your truth. Your word is truth. So we're sanctified. Sanctification is our being separated to a relationship with God. It is literally entering to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. That's sanctification. That's done according to Jesus by the Word. It also saves us. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls.
God's word is the power of God unto salvation, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. It is the source of faith in our lives. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Everybody says, got to have faith. I want more faith. But yet, they don't want to go and find faith where it is. And that is God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It justifies us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, in other words, from the word of God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It provides us the reason to love God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's a reason to love. And see, that love is the manifestation of God's love to us, according to Romans 5. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, I didn't love God first. He loved me first. And all love that I have for Him is in response to the love that He has for me. It also makes clear in God's Word that it leads us in righteousness. Psalm 119 again, verse 105 says, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You drop down to verse 172. It says, For all Your commandments are righteousness. You know, this is not a comprehensive list by no means. But for our time this morning, I think it suffices. I think it shows the power and the value and the need to know God's holy and divine will. Not just leaving that to teachers or preachers or elders, but to understand that personally I have a responsibility to my soul and to my life to know these things. That it is written in my mind. And in my heart. You know, this year, we are going to get back to a focus on this most important foundational need to be people of the Word. Members of the church used to have a great reputation for this. And you know, you talk Church of Christ, those people, they know the Bible. But I'm afraid we've lost some of that reputation. And that's our fault. That's our fault for not doing the study that we need to do. Taking personal time to study God's Word as we should do. And you know, over time, because of laziness and distraction, we have failed to love God with our minds as we should. We failed to let Him put His laws in our minds and on our hearts by diligent study of God's Word. And as a result, there is a danger that many may fail to be God's people by neglecting the great salvation that has been offered. Now, this is no small thing. This is no light issue. This is a foundational issue to Christianity, is the knowledge of God's Word. Here at Cary, we desire with all of our heart to be people of the Word. I believe that. I believe that from you. As a result, we are continuing our efforts in 2014 to provide strong biblical programs that will increase people's knowledge and their ability to share that knowledge and truth with others. And you can see that being people of the Word, having God's Word in our minds and on our hearts, it's a natural extension of being soul-focused that we thought about last year. Because I cannot properly focus on my soul if I do not allow God to place His laws in my mind and write them on my heart. My soul will never be what it needs to be until that happens. I cannot effectively focus on the souls of the lost by bringing them to the truth of Jesus Christ when I have not loved Him with my mind enough to give myself diligently to studying His Word so that I know what to tell the lost about Jesus Christ. I cannot effectively be focused on the souls of my brethren as they endeavor to be more like Jesus if I do not know Jesus, because I do not know what He has said. And I do not know how He lived, because I've never taken the time to look at it and to give myself wholly to it. He is a stranger to me because I have not studied. I know I've used the illustration before, but yet it's still so apt that we stand before some tombstones out in the cemetery and they mean nothing. We They don't solicit any kind of emotion out of us because we don't know the person that was buried there. But we stand before graves of our parents or other close loved ones and we shed a tear and we don't laugh and we don't joke and we don't kid around. There's emotion in that moment. And the reason for that is because we remember them. We know them. There are things about them that hold dear in our hearts. Folks, we stand before an open grave when we take the Lord's Supper. And it's an empty grave, but it is our Lord's. And if we don't have any knowledge of Him, it isn't going to mean anything to us. Is it going to change our lives? But you don't get to know Jesus just by thinking, oh, I think about Jesus today. You get to know Jesus by looking at the life that He lived as recorded by the Holy Spirit in God's Word. That's the only way you know Him. By listening to His words. You know, this year, our programs will continue to educate and prepare Christians to help others have God's laws in their minds and written on their hearts. In just a few weeks, we will have our first annual Preach the Word workshop, January 24th and the 25th here at the building. And this is for all of our men. And in this workshop, we will look at the book of 1 John and see what it teaches. And we'll also examine how can we develop lessons out of this. Not only sermons, but also Bible class lessons, devotionals, whatever. How do I look at this text and be able to teach it? Now, the first thing you have to do to teach is to know. You got to study. But how do I take what I know then and give it to others? And that's what we're going to look at. It's on expository preaching. And the principles taught there will enable any man to better study, teach, and preach. And we have men like Brother Eddie Kraft coming, Brother Wesley Simon. We had Brother David Farr, but he had to cancel due to personal reasons. But we have wonderful men coming. We have Brother Mike Height from Denver, Colorado, Stephen Guy from Myrtle Beach. We have our own Andy Waters and Ken Lowry. Please come anyway. But we got wonderful men. Men with experience, men with knowledge to share with us. And if you come, you will be blessed to be here. And I hope that you decide to come and be a part of this great opportunity. But I want you to, I want to encourage you though, because we need you to register if you're going to come online. And you can do that at gopreachtc.org. And please do that and register to come and be a part of that 2 days workshop. You will be blessed for it. And it will help you better love God with your mind. We'll also have our second annual Rise Up Weekend in March 27th through the 30th. This year's theme will be rising up in the divine nature as we see it in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verses 1 through 11. And the early bird session will be dedicated to a topic that's very difficult, and a topic that we often have conversations about, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. If you're able to come on Thursday night and be there on Friday, we're going to spend time looking at every scripture in the New Testament about the Holy Spirit. And what do they mean? What are they telling us? What do we need to take from them? So save the date and plan to be a part of all the activities that will take place over the course of that entire weekend, all the way through Sunday, and our lessons on Sunday and the ones that we'll have in the afternoon as well on Sunday. Then also new in 2014 is our Sincere Faith Camp for our teenage girls. This camp is June 18th through the 22nd. It's focused on teaching Christian girls how to teach Bible class. We had preacher's camp last year, and it had always been our plan to then add on to our work in that area to help our young ladies. I'm sure that Gene and Andy and Calvin and all those that are in our education, over our education areas, would say, we need more teachers. And you know the reason why we struggle in every congregation, not just at Cary, but everywhere. I've been preaching for 20 years and have yet to find that congregation. We go, hey, we got enough teachers now. Please don't volunteer. Haven't found that one yet. You know why? Because we failed to train. We ask people to do things that we never give them the skills to do. We need to remedy that. And this camp is an endeavor to do just that, to teach our teenage girls how to be teachers of God's Word. And so we're looking forward to that. Jeannie, Nita, Monique, Tammy, Carol, Phyllis, and others are working too hard to prepare for this great work, and pray for them. Andy and I are already getting excited about the Preacher's Camp again this year, our second annual Go Preach training camp in July, on July 20th through the 27th. Once again, we'll train teenage men how to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the greatest thing a man can do. is to stand and to preach and to teach God's holy and divine word. Last year was great, and we pray that this year will be even better. And we're trying to make things that will make it, or come up with things that will make it better. You know, this year we're going to expand our efforts as well in connection with our Friends and Family Day. We had a good Friends and Family Day this last year. We hope to add some other things to this year's Friends and Family Day. It's, you know, we want to help people come to a knowledge of God's laws in their minds and in their hearts. And that will be on October 12th this year. And on November 16th to the 19th, we will be blessed to have Brother Phil Sanders with us again for our gospel meeting. And you know, he is an extremely effective speaker, and we are blessed to have him. And maybe we work hard to bring people to hear him teach God's word. You know, we have gospel meetings, but folks, gospel meetings are only as successful as the work we put into it. May we show up. How in the world do we expect anybody else in this world to think it's important to come to the Lord's church when we ourselves don't think it's important? People come and they see out there on the board 300 for Sunday morning and we have 70. What does that tell them about us? It tells them it's not important. Folks, that will put blood on our hands. God will hold us accountable for those kind of things. May we not be part of that. When we have these things, may we do all of our, with all of our might, invite people and then support them ourselves. You know, we just finished a great year, and I believe that we have a great year ahead of us, folks. I pray that through our efforts in 2014, we and many others become better people of God's Word. That we will let God put His laws in our minds. That we will let Him write them on our hearts. So that we can truly be His people. And that He can truly be our God. May we all this year study more, learn more, know more, do more, teach more, pray more, trust more, and be more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our great and merciful Father in heaven, we thank You for Your love that sent Jesus to die for us. We thank You that because of His sacrifice and resurrection, we can be Your children. We thank You for the great blessings that You have inundated this congregation with in the past year, and we pray that You continue to bless us as we fervently serve You throughout this year. Father, please help us to be diligent in our in the study of Your Word so that You may place Your laws in our minds and write them on the tablets of our hearts that we may truly be Your people. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it has all things that pertain to living this life and living it godly. Help us to be people dedicated to it and in love with it. Be with our elders, Father. Be with our deacons, our teachers, and all of our members as we endeavor to know and be more like Jesus Christ. It is in His name that we pray. Amen. I mentioned a couple of months ago about the theme for this year, kind of a little preview. Sister Denise Huckabee came out, she said, "You've already given me some ideas for a poem." And she wrote it, and I want to read it to you this morning because I think it's very good and very applicable. She writes, "In my mind and on my heart, people of the Word, my focus is on making sure the Savior's voice is heard, taking Scripture to the lost, committed so the truth is taught, steadfast studying every day, walking in the heavenly way, giving Jesus all of me, prostrate down on bended knee, drinking from His holy well, sin and doubt will not prevail. In my mind and on my heart, sanctified and set apart, reaching across the desert sand, bringing hope to every man. People honest, brave, and true, Divine Master, we love You. Standing firm on solid ground, spreading the gospel for miles around. Souls are crying day and night, tired, anguished in this plight. In my mind and on my heart, they just need a brand new start. People of God, we know the way. Give Jesus to someone today. Take time to listen and sympathize. Open your heart as well as your eyes. We've all been down a time or two. Uplift, love, someone did for you. Be mindful of the words you speak. Love, be humble, kind, and meek. Walk softly in His word. be brave. Let God control, for Jesus saves. In our minds and on our hearts, let Christians rise and do our parts. Let's work together for His cause, obey and live by His great laws. Thank you, Sister Denise, for that. And that's what we're endeavoring to do, to have God's laws in our minds and on our hearts, that we might truly be people of God's Word. This morning, if you're not a child of God, we hope that you want God's words in your mind, you want them in your heart, because you understand this morning that that is the way to salvation. You want to be a child of God. You want to be born again into His family. God's Word says what you need to do. It is to believe in Jesus Christ with all your heart, to confess Him as the Son of God, to repent of your sins, to decide that I am no longer going to walk in the path of sin, but I'm going to live righteously according to what God puts in my mind and on my heart through His Word. And then be buried in baptism, having your sins washed away to rise, being born again there with the Spirit in the water, and having your rising to be a child of God, to walk a new life, a life where you're a person of the Word, a person who knows Jesus because you've studied Jesus, because you've looked at Jesus, because you've learned what He has to say and how He lived. Maybe you're a person who have done those things, and maybe you forgot that rising up out of that watery grave was not the finish line. It was just the beginning. It was when you really get into understanding and knowing who and what Jesus Christ is for you in your life. And you haven't been loving Him with all your mind. Begin today. If we can assist you in any way through public confession, or if you need prayers for strength for spiritual things, we hope and pray that you will let us help you in those things. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.